I trust that everyone will be serious and solemn as we talk together. We are in the presence of the living God. And at the conclusion of this service, I'm going to ask you to make a decision and indicate it on that quiz card and pass it in. Our subject tonight, the devil's best buddies. I'm going to the book of Acts, chapter 13, and I'm beginning with verse 7, and I read these words. It says, which was with the deputy of the county, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Please listen. We're talking about a man whose name was Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, wise, perceptive. He called for Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul, and desired to hear the word of God. He desired to hear what? Follow me now. Sergius Paulus, a man being moved by the Holy Ghost of God, he sent for these two evangelists, and he desired to hear the word of God. Verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And in verse 11 it says, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. That story is pregnant with meaning for our day. There was an honest man. He didn't know all that God expected. He was a beginner, a learner. But he was honest, he was sincere, and he wanted to hear the word of God. There was a man whose name was Elymas, and this man was a sorcerer, and when Paul and Barnabas came to teach the word of God, this man withstood them. Now the deputy, Sergius Paulus, wanted to hear them. He wanted to hear the word of God. But when they came to preach it and to teach it, this other fella interjected himself and tried to withstand them and turn that seeker away from the truth. And with the Holy Ghost upon him, Paul set his eyes on that fellow. And he said, you child of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, will you never stop perverting the ways of righteousness? Therefore, the hand of the Lord is upon you. You're going to turn blind. And indeed, he did. Who is the devil's best buddy? The devil's best buddy is a man who will not do right himself and then meddles with people, stands in the way of people who want to know what the Word of God says to keep them from doing it. The devil's best buddy is a man who will not obey God's commandments and then tries to talk you out of it. The devil's best buddy is called an enemy of all righteousness. He is the kind of man who is hell-bound himself and hinders those who would like to go to heaven. St. Paul called him a child of the devil. Jesus Christ had the same contempt for people like this. In Matthew 23 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in." Do you hear me? This is a solemn message tonight. And if anything turns me on the way it turned Paul on, it's these folk who won't do right. They won't obey God. They don't respect God's law. They don't respect the standards of the Bible. They put no difference between the clean and the unclean. They show no difference between the holy and the profane. And then they try to spread this kind of perversion amongst those who would follow the Word of God once they heard it. If they would just leave other folks alone. They therefore are the devil's best buddies. Jesus said, "You scribes and Pharisees won't go into the kingdom of heaven yourselves." And then you shut it up against those who would go in. Woe unto you! You know, Satan has a warfare going on with the Lord. Tonight I had a chance to talk to a fine young man. And I told that young man that the devil has a purpose, and that is to destroy you, and any person he can use, anything he can use, he will use it. You understand me, folks? That's his job as a devil. And the devil has a certain advantage. The odds, in terms of numbers, are with him. For the devil has himself to work on you. And then the Bible says when he was put out of heaven, 1/3 of all the angels up there were put out with him. So he's got his imps helping him in this warfare. And as if that were not bad enough, he has the majority of people in Washington, D.C. on his side. The devil will get after you. His imps will get after you. And those unconsecrated servants of his will stand in your way. Sometimes they live in the same house with you. Sometimes it's daddy, sometimes it's husband, sometimes it's wife, sometimes it's children, sometimes it's brother or sister. The devil always has somebody he will use to try to keep you from going to heaven. Somebody to keep you in the paths of ignorance and deception. He has somebody who will disallow the Word of God even when it's as clear as the nose on your face. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a fool. Don't misunderstand me and take what I'm about to say as immodesty. For I know my place, and I humble myself before God. But I know one thing. With a grain in my head, I know that the truth has been clear out here. Now, I know that. I'm not asking, I'm telling. And in spite of the fact that text after text after text validates God's will, somebody will come along, no matter how many texts you read, and tell you, "Well, that doesn't matter anymore. That's the old dispensation. That was nailed to the cross. The Bible says he is a child of the devil." Oh, beloved, I got a burning heart. You're going to have to pardon me. I've got a burden. I love the people to whom I'm called to minister, and it upsets me to see them being deceived by people who don't care a whit about their souls. Like Jeremiah, tonight I'm filled with the fury of the Lord. There's a fire in my bones. Text after text after text I have read to you over and over again from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. And then I challenge you, bring one text showing me that I'm bound to keep the first day of the week as the Sabbath, and I will do it starting Sunday. I challenge you to do that. I told you to go to your pastor, go any way you want. Bring one text. And you can't do it. And in spite of that, somebody will stand up and say, "Oh, child, let no man judge you in holy days." and Sabbath days. You don't have, that's Jewish after all. In spite of all the evidence, in spite of all God has said, in spite of the fact that the Sabbath was made before sin entered the world, in spite of the fact that the Sabbath was made for Adam and Eve before they ever fell, they will call it Jewish. And some of us are so unstable and imperceptive that we will stand and quiver in the face of that kind of deception. It seems to me when God makes himself that clear as he has made himself, we ought to be able to stand on the word of God. Would you say amen out there? You don't have to believe it because C.D. Brooks said it, but you ought to believe it if God said it, because God's word is not going to change. There isn't a man alive who can vote the truth out and error in. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, the Bible says. Don't you believe it, beloved? Don't you believe God? Then why is it every time you think you got your mind made up, somebody can come along and interfere and meddle a little bit, and all of a sudden you're not sure anymore? What's wrong with you? Then what must God think? I'll tell you what the problem is. When I was a child in grade school, I learned a nursery rhyme about a dog in a manger. You ever hear that? This dog went and laid down in a manger. A manger is a straw trough in the stall of a cow or a horse. And this dog went and got up in the manger. Now, dogs don't eat straw. Huh? He couldn't eat it. And finally, a hungry ox came in and wanted to have his dinner. And that dog snarled and growled and showed his fangs. He couldn't eat the straw, and he wouldn't let the ox eat it. There are people who are spiritually blind. They can't see the truth. And then they get in the way of those who would see it. The Bible says the curse of God is upon people like that. A lost man wants you lost. A guilty man wants you guilty. Misery loves company. Would you say amen out there? A man is not going to tell you to do what he doesn't do himself. What do you expect when you go to see him? And beloved, who do you think you're checking on when you go to ask a man about whether or not God tells the truth? I would suggest, beloved, tenderly, that you go ask God if man is telling the truth. Man is on trial, not God. Please let us wake up. The curse of God is upon a man who will do that. And the Bible says the hand of the Lord was upon Elimus. It's bad enough that men don't know God's truth. It's not God's fault. This is the same Bible we all use. And the truths that I preach to you that have surprised so many of you. You've heard texts and scriptures you never heard in your life before. They've been in that Bible all the time. It's not God's fault. These are men who are called and educated, and they have churches and pulpits, and they have forums. It is not God's fault if they don't tell you what the Bible says. It's not God's fault if they're not taught that in school. Are we going to blame God? Oh, beloved, please listen to me. And if my approach seems to be severe, I ask you to forgive me. We are closing out here. And I am concerned about you. I say it's bad enough that men do not know the truth in an age of enlightenment. If you can read and pray, you can know the truth. You don't have to see a sign or a wonder. You don't have to hear thunder and see lightning. Some of us are so vulnerable and so gullible that we're always looking for somebody who can work some kind of trick. And we fasten our faith to that. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We'd better have our faith in the word of God. And once your faith is anchored in the word, don't let anybody or anything dissuade you or cause you to deviate from the path of truth. Would you say amen out there? Oh, beloved, please listen to me. If you don't like me, at least listen to the truth. Please, because this is so serious. The Bible says that God is so considerate and so tender and so anxious to save us that he doesn't even judge you when you don't know. And some of you have been going all these years in darkness, and God said, I winked at it. Acts 17:30. But instead of appreciating that kind of consideration, we take the other point and say, well, you know, I see that that's in the Bible, but I've been going this way so long. You ought to thank God he didn't let you die before you heard the truth. If you've been going wrong for 80 years, does that make wrong right? What's wrong with us anyhow? God has blessed us, allowed us to stay here. In fact, the Bible says you are not condemned for being in darkness. The Bible says in John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Would you say amen, beloved? God doesn't condemn a one of us in here for the years we were in darkness. And I've told you about my own experience. I'm trying to show you the sympathy I have. That's why I preach. That's why I answer questions. That's why I don't mind going over the thing several times. Sometimes we get a question one night and then again in a night or two. We answer the same question 10 or 12 times. I don't mind doing it because I understand. When you're in darkness and want the light, it's my duty to answer you. Beloved, I was not born in the truth. We had to be brought in. My sister sitting out there was grown and married when we heard it. We were just like many of you. We ate everything, wore everything, did everything. So I think I ought to know how to sympathize with people who are hearing the truth for the first time. But what I cannot understand is how we can patiently go over truth together and you admit you see it and then stand back wavering and balking about doing what God said. I don't understand that. If God is God, I don't understand that. If you believe that God is God, if you believe that the Bible is his word, if you believe that God's word is more important than church tradition, I don't understand that. Do you? Can you explain how a man will know what God says and choose what a man says instead? Can you understand that? I cannot. And God says the condemnation does not come because my people are in darkness. It comes after I send the light. And they keep on walking in darkness. And you can do that 1 year and 2 years and 3 years and something happens to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I have quoted those words verbatim, beloved. Those are frightening things to consider. God says, if I send you the truth and you show disdain, I send you the truth and you despise it. I send you the truth in love and in mercy and in eagerness to save your soul. And you say, I don't want it. God says, then I'll withdraw truth. And when I withdraw truth, there is darkness. And instead of believing the truth, you will believe a lie. And I believe I've seen that happen in the lives of men and women ever since I have become aware of the word and truth of God for myself. There are people that I love. I pray for them. I talk to them. Indeed, we are friends, but I've seen them put it off 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And the more you put it off, the more recalcitrant and hard-hearted you become. And you get to the place you can't even hear God talk anymore. You get to the place that error looks like truth and truth looks like error. You've done it to yourself, and it is this that drives away the Holy Ghost and makes a man impossible to save. Please hear me, beloved. It is solemn. It is solemn. There are those who come to you and try to set the Old Testament against the New Testament like they are enemies. Do you know that when Jesus was here, there was only one Testament? In John 5:39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures. He was only talking about the Old Testament. The book of John wasn't even written for years after Christ had gone back to heaven. when Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul was talking about the Old Testament. That's all he had. Would you say amen out there? And yet there are people who will tell you, that's the old. They don't know anything, and they're trying to blind you with their own ignorance, even after you have heard the word of the Lord. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. They agree. One does not fight the other. Oh, beloved, listen to the Lord tonight. There are some who try to set the Old Testament against the New, and they try to set Christ against God. And that's why people have such twisted concepts of God. They think God is mean and tough and full of law, but Jesus is tender and sweet and full of grace. Don't you know that Christ and His Father are one? Don't you know that Jesus said, I came to reveal the Father? One day one of His disciples said, show us the Father. Jesus said, if I've been with you all this time and you ask a question like that, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Haven't you read that? If Jesus is full of grace, God is full of grace. If Jesus is loving and kind, the Father is loving and kind. Don't let anybody paint that kind of picture. It is a blasphemous picture. God the Father is as interested in your soul as Christ is. And the Holy Ghost is as interested as the other two are. For they are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Would you say amen out there? And when Jesus was here, he said plainly, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I didn't come down here to start something else. I came down here to do his will. I came down here to keep his commandments, he said in John 15. He's either a liar or he tells the truth. Jesus said, I have kept my Father's commandments. Would you say amen out there? And yet they smart alecks who don't know anything, who haven't studied anything, will come and tell you, well, you know, that's the Old Testament under the Father, but now we're under Jesus. Oh, my friends. Then there are those who want to turn Jesus against Moses. Got a question, and I always get it. Why do we have to keep old Moses' law? Talk about Moses like he was a bad fella. Moses was a pretty good fella. Not only that, Moses is where we are trying to go. He's in heaven now. I guess in that sense, he is old Moses. Been up there for centuries. Let's say amen out there. Talking about old Moses. Don't you know it was Jesus who told Moses what to say? Don't you know it was Jesus who gave Moses the law? Don't you know it was Jesus that led the children of Israel with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud? Don't you know that was Christ? Don't you know when they got thirsty, water came out of the rock, and the New Testament said they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ? There is no dichotomy between Christ and Moses. And in John 5:46, Jesus said, had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me. Would you say amen out there? And yet all these foolish and devilish philosophies come along, and every time we hear a new one, when God has spoken, if I were God, I wouldn't like that. And then there are those who despise God's law. And they say there's something wrong with that. Oh, beloved, the Bible says the law is holy and just and good, and Paul said that. You know, I could read it to you out of the Old Testament. I'd rather read it out of the New. Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Holy, if a thing's holy, it ought to be all right. What do you say? If a thing is just, that means it's fair. And if it is good, what have you got against good? Think! We are so dependent and so unwilling to use our own brains, we just want somebody to tell us what to do. And if he tells us wrong, we all shaken up. Don't you know you can't stand any test until you find something that you believe in and you're willing to die for? And the only thing I know that's dependable is the Word of God. That's the only thing I know can't be shaken. Even friends will change. Even loved ones will turn against you. But the Word of God stands forever. You can count on it. That's something to get serious with. Now I'm going to tell you something. We don't have time to see any slides, and I'm rushing. I think we can. Let me tell you something. I want you to think now. We are so emotional, you know. We don't have to think if we get shouting. That's all we want. I ain't against shouting. I've made that clear. But that's all some want to do. They want to roll. And they want to shout. And they want to carry on. And then when they get through, they don't know what they heard or what they said or what they did. God is an intelligent God, and He appeals to your brain. He wants you to think. Decisions are made in the brain. Would you say amen out there? It is time for us to think. Now I want you to consider something. Every time you decide to do God's will, you start getting more advice and counsel than you ever got before. Folks who are going to hell and don't care if you go will come to you with advice and counsel the minute you hear the truth. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm going to lay it right out there plain. There are fathers and mothers right in this city whose children run off to these movies. They don't go down there to argue about that and fuss about the X-rated films that are being shown. They don't condemn these perverters who are teaching by their example and by their suave and debonair appearance, teaching your children to do wrong. There are these rock singers who sing about drugs and who look like degenerates, and these children run to that, and the parents don't say a thing against them. But the minute somebody comes along preaching the truth, mama and papa start arguing with the children. Huh? Now, am I telling you the truth? I don't see how you can give your daughter money to run to these movies anytime she wants to go and expect her to keep a clean mind and a clean body. And yet there are fathers who do it once a week, twice a week, sending their children off to the movies to get rid of them. And these movies are corrupting and perverting this entire generation. Are you listening to me? Nothing to say against those movies. In fact, they will defend them. They'll hear me preach what I'm saying right now and get upset. But the minute somebody starts telling those children the truth of God and they find out these young people want to obey the Lord and be baptized, oh no, I don't think you're old enough for that yet. You might not understand what you're doing. When they're running to the movies watching sex and drugs, they don't say you're not old enough. But the minute they want to serve God, we don't think you're old enough. The devil's best buddies. Wait a minute. Let me carry it another step further. In fact, if anybody is here game enough to try it, I challenge you to try it. You go to the most heavily populated street you can find tonight. And stand on the corner tonight and yell to the top of your voice, I'm going to get drunk. And I guarantee you, nobody will come up and say to you, you shouldn't do that. If anything, they'll want to know, can I go with you? But the minute you decide to walk in the light and to keep God's commandments and to be baptized into the remnant church that's going to be saved when Jesus comes, here they come. Oh, you sure? I don't think you ought to do that. Child of the devil. And you know I'm telling you the truth. They don't care if you get drunk. What bothers them is if you decide to serve Jesus. But I'm telling you tonight, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has used the faithful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. We can't stop the forward march of truth. God's word, He said, will not return unto Him void. That's Isaiah 55:11. He said it will accomplish what I sent it to do. My word will not come back void. I have my word preached as a witness. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to all be saved. A witness in court is either for you or against you. And if the truth is preached, it can be for you if you let it transform your life. If you don't, when you come up into judgment, it will be a witness against you. You come up saying, Lord, I didn't know any better. The truth will say you're a liar because Brooks told you in 1979. Would you say amen out there? God said, my word will not return unto me void, but will accomplish that which I sent it to do. Oh, beloved, don't get angry with the word of God. I heard a story about a boy who had been wayward. And this boy had done everything he's big enough to do. And finally his father died. And the lawyer called him home to hear the father's will. He had a brother. Both of them had been sinners. And the lawyer took out the will and began to read. And the will started out by talking about how these boys had lived. The will started out putting the finger on these boys' sins. The will started out by expressing the father's displeasure with the conduct of the sons. All of a sudden, one of those boys couldn't stand it any longer. He got up mad as a wet hen. He said, I will not sit here and listen to my father's will, pointing out my sins. I'm getting out of here. I don't care what his will says. I won't listen. And he took off. The other boy, who was equally bad, kept on listening. And he knew that what his father said was true. And it broke his heart that he'd let his daddy down like that. He knew he didn't deserve anything. He knew the censure he was receiving he did deserve. It broke his heart. The tears started to flow. He dropped his head and he began to sob and sob. The lawyer just kept on reading the father's will. And finally, he came to a paragraph that snatched that boy's head up and it dried his eyes. The father said in that final paragraph of his will, now I have dealt with the sins of my sons. They might not like what I've said. And if they walk out of here, they don't get a thing that I have left of all my wealth. But if one will humble himself and stay by to hear all I've said, I'm leaving that one the entirety of all I've accumulated on earth. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, don't get mad at the Father's will. Sometimes it comes as a rebuke. Sometimes it straightens us out when we've been going wrong. Sometimes it straightens us up when we've been crooked. Sometimes it cleans us up when we've been filthy. But at the end of the will is everlasting life. Let's not run away from that. What do you say out there, beloved? And let's not listen to the devil's best friend. I don't care if it's me. If I tell you to disregard the word of the Lord, I am the devil's best friend. The screen comes down, please, and the lights go out. I know I've been pretty straight out here, but you have to admit I've been fair. Every test I've laid at the root of any other man, I've laid at the feet of myself, haven't I? Night after night, I've told you not to take my word, but go home and read it in your Bible. Haven't I? Oh, beloved, it is serious. Tonight, souls are in the valley of decision. Tonight, beloved, tonight. Somebody will make an eternal decision. As these lights are down now, and as we look at these pictures which represent all that Jesus went through for us, I want you to take that quiz card. And if it's your decision to go all the way with Jesus, if it's your decision to listen no more to men who would dissuade you, if it's your decision that you're not going to be turned aside by false prophets and false teachers, if it's your decision to stand on the Word of God and you plan to be in that number tomorrow, I want you to just put a big X on your quiz card. That's all I want you to do in the darkness now as you stop and contemplate what Jesus went through for you. Ladies and gentlemen, His back was beaten. His back was beaten with that Roman whip. Until it looked like a raw steak. The Son of God went through that for you and for me. They fastened him to a tree. He never said a mumbling word. His face was dripping with blood and spit. But he never said a mumbling word. His powerful hands were fastened with steel and iron. The pain was unspeakable. Spasms of agony jerked his body. The gnats and the flies crawled in his wounds, and he couldn't even drive them away. The buzzards smelled blood and circled over his head. The Son of God dying like a common thief, because he cared about you. He cared about you, and he cared about me. He went all the way. He didn't come down. The enemies of God stood at the foot of the cross, yelling their insults. Come down from the cross and save thyself. If thou be Jesus, the Son of the Father, come down. And when he didn't come down, someone responded, others he saved. Himself he cannot save. And you know that was the truth. He could not save himself and save you tonight. He could not save himself and save Charles Brooks tonight. So he stayed up there that you and I might live. He took all the insults. He took all the meanness until finally his heart ruptured inside his chest. And he dropped his head in the hollow of his shoulder and screamed in his passion and yielded up the ghost. The Son of God paid the price for your redemption and mine. The Son of God with his side slit open. But when his side felt the spear, it opened up a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he cares. And tonight, he doesn't tell you to follow Brooks. Tonight, he doesn't tell you to embrace some denominational idea. Tonight, he says, if you love me, if you love me, make up your mind to keep my commandments. Make up your mind to do my will. Can you make that decision? You've said night after night, I intend to give up anything and everything. You've said night after night, Lord, I'm ready to do your will. Now we come down to the close of this meeting. If you really mean that, put an X on that card and start passing them into darkness to the ends of the aisles. Let's do it quickly now. May God bless you. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you, tomorrow morning, we're going to preach at the 11 o'clock hour. At the conclusion of that, those who are ready and willing to follow Jesus and to do what he says are going to be carried away, and that commitment will be sealed in baptism. Oh, may God lead you. I have pleaded with God for you today and every day. I don't want anybody following me. I just want you to love Jesus. I just want you to follow him. I just want you to do his will. And if I've told you anything that's purely Brooks, throw it in the trash can. I just want you to do God's will. I just want you to be saved. If I ask you for money, some of you'd give it to me. If I ask you for other favors, you'd do that. I don't want any of that. I just want you to do God's will. I just want you to make up your mind to follow Jesus. Pass those cards now to the aisles. And I trust that you've been honest with the Lord and with yourself. I trust that you've made the kind of decision that will mean eternal life for you. Beloved, pass in your quiz card, regardless of what you put on it at the end. We thank God for you. As the ushers are taking up these papers, I'm going to offer prayer. I'm going to pray for you. How many of you feel the need of prayer tonight as I do? Say amen. I want us to pray now as never before. I want us to be honest with ourselves and with the Lord. I want us who are in the valley of decision to decide that Christ is more important than man. His word is more important than error. It's time for us to close now, and we have not been late. But I want you to take it seriously, beloved, because the end is coming soon. I want you to plan to be in this place tomorrow morning to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You'll never forget it. I want you to walk in the kingdom just like John. I want you to be in heaven with me. I want you to pray that I'll be there with you. I want us to be saved. Isn't that what you want? Oh, blessed God. Patient God. Long-suffering God, we thank you tonight for another chance to make a decision to do thy will. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon our hearts tonight. This world is full of religious confusion. If we would just turn to the Bible, we could have our minds cleared up. This world is full of false prophets. This world is full of men, as the Bible says, vain talkers who will draw away men for filthy lucre. There are many voices calling. And, oh Lord, I put myself in the same group with everybody else to be tested by the Word and by the Scriptures. Oh, dear Lord, tonight let us hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. You've said in your Word, my sheep know my voice and follow me. That's all we want, Lord. We want to follow Thee. We want men and women to do what You say. When this meeting is over, some of them will never see me again. That's not important, Lord. But they've got to see Jesus. Prepared or unprepared, we've got to stand in the judgment and give accounts of the deeds done in our bodies. And Lord, I don't want the people lost. You told me to come out here and preach. And You've laid them on my heart. I want them saved. So touch their hearts with conviction and with the converting power of the Holy Ghost. Give us common sense, Lord. Give us wisdom. Help us to know that the only safe course tonight is to put our hands in the hands of Jesus and to walk with Him, to do His will, to keep His commandments. You've said that the remnant church, which means the last church, will be characterized by its devotion to the commandments of God and the writings of the prophets. Revelation 12 and verse 17. Lord, we want to be saved. But You've told us in Revelation 22 and verse 14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You've told us in Your Word, there shall not enter into that kingdom anything that defileth. So we got to put off our liquor and our tobacco and our drugs and all the things that defile these body temples, including unclean foods. Oh, Lord, help us to be willing. Help us to know that in doing it, we're doing ourselves the greatest favor we've ever done ourselves. And help us to know how much You love us. Women, your husbands never loved you like Jesus. Men, your wives can't love you like Jesus. As the song says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Reveal Thyself, Lord. And if tonight I have been overbearing, I pray that You would apply Your Word gently to the hearts of Your honest people. I pray that You would teach them. And as they go home tonight, don't let them go to sleep until they've made their calling and election sure. Don't let them rest. Disturb them. Wake them up. And speak to them of eternity. And deal gently, Lord. Because we all are sinners being saved by grace. I'm not above anybody else. Only by grace. Only by grace. Oh, precious Lord. Show us who Thou art. I humbly pray in Thy name. There is someone who cares. Make him your very first choice. There is someone who cares. Hear no other voice. There is someone who cares. In His truth rejoice. For that someone who cares is Jesus. There is someone who cares. It's foolish now to wait. There is someone who cares. You can't decide your fate. There is someone who cares. Don't let it be said too late. That someone who cares is Jesus. And now may He go home with you and keep your minds through these Sabbath hours. May He give you courage of conviction, and may you have the grace to follow Him. May tomorrow's sun find you well, with your mind stayed on Jesus. And may you find your way here, whether it is raining or sunshine. At 9:15, Sabbath school will begin. At 11 o'clock, the divine worship hour. And after that, the grandest service of all, the service of commitment, the burial of the man of sin, and the rising to walk with Jesus in a new life. May the Holy Ghost guide you through all these holy hours, is our prayer in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. May God bless you. Have a happy Sabbath. We'll see you in the morning.